Morning. Did you all hear that beautiful music that Dave and Carissa were blessing us with? This last song, The Old Rugged Cross, and how we need to be reminded of what Jesus did on that old rugged cross, right? Week in and week out. That's why we're here, is to be able to be reminded about what God through Jesus has done for us. Well, hopefully when you came in this morning, you picked up a bulletin or you received one from our greeter. And so if you have one, take it out. If you don't have one, make sure you grab one on the way out. So open it up. Let's kind of go through some of the things this morning right after our morning worship service. We have Sunday school. Just a reminder, we have Sunday school from children all the way up through adults. So I hope that you'll stay and join us for that. Tuesday night, men, we have leadership meeting here at the church for those on the leadership team, 6:30. I hope you have that on your calendar. Wednesday, Joy Bible Study here at the church at 1 p.m. And again, Joy Bible Study is open to anybody who has the time available to come and join us for Bible study. Thursday night is Awana. Saturday is our men's chili cook-off and game night. Now, let me just give you some details about that. So, men, if you don't bring chili, you can still come to the chili cook-off because we need tasters. We need voters. And so, but if you want to put together some chili and bring it, that would be great. Just remember, most of the work has to be done by you as a man, okay? Not by a woman. In order to be eligible to be able to be judged, if your wife just throws some cans of chili into a crock pot and you bring it, yeah, you might not want to enter it, but that's okay. You can come anyway. All right, and then we're going to play Bunko afterwards. There's a trophy for the winner of the cook-off. There's going to be prizes for the winner of the Bunko that we're going to do afterwards. So 5 o'clock here at the church. Men, you're going to want to be here. And then next Sunday is church family dinner. Yes?
Yes.
So you probably have already read the announcement in the bulletin.
There's going to be leftover chili.
And you're like, I don't understand. So let me explain it to you. So we're not going to let the men take their chili home after the chili cook-off. We're going to tell them to leave it here. We are going to have it for church family dinner. But we're not going to just eat chili. We need you to bring other stuff to be able to help with the dinner. So you all got that? So we're going to eat chili. If you want to bring soup, you can bring soup. If you want to bring other stuff, you can bring other stuff. Got it? Everybody understand? So I hope you have that on your calendar. So that way, ladies and kids, if you want to taste some of the chili, and especially maybe the award-winning chili, who's ever that's going to be.
I'll make 2 batches.
He currently is the award winner. Okay, he's currently the chili cook-off champ.
You can pry that trophy from my cold, dead fingers.
There'll be a different trophy, okay? It's not a traveling trophy. There'll be a different trophy. So you won't have to worry about fighting Jared for that, okay? All right, so I think that'll be good. Ladies, there's an announcement about the upcoming women's conference that's going to be taking place in just a couple weeks. So lots of other things in the bulletin. That's why it's so important for you to be able to have one. I am so glad to be able to be here this morning. How about you?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, 3 of you are, okay? Maybe the rest of you will get on board while we go. All right, praise team, let's go.
All right, would you all stand with me as we get started this morning?
As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name. Let the nations sing it louder, because nothing has the power to save but your name. Jesus, in your give us strength to live for you and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save. But your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save. But your name, you are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God alone. From before time began, you were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're the only God whose power none can contend. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You are God, and that's just the way it is. You are God alone. From before time began, you were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. And that's what you are. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable, you're unstoppable, and that's what you are. You are God alone. From before time began, you were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God. In the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for not leaving us alone. Instead, Lord, you made a way for us. You made a future, and you gave us hope. In Jesus. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for being the God who is before time began, who sits on an eternal throne. Thank you for being that great of a God. We worship you today. We praise you today. Amen. Please be seated as we continue forward.
And I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. 'Cause Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. 'Cause Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. Yes, he washed it white as snow. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life.
Let's praise him. Come on, everybody.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Hallelujah.
He washed it white as snow. Yes, he washed it white as snow.
We worship you today, Jesus.
Look at the flowers in all of their beauty. I don't have to wonder, you know what you're doing. So why would I worry at all? You're faithful to supply.
Thank you.
Everything I need, everything I need, my Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide, my Father has it, my Father has it. Yeah. Look at
sparrow, lacking for nothing. No fear of tomorrow, what it will bring. If I have you, I have enough, 'cause your love will satisfy everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it. Seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else, it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. And I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. I know the Lord will provide. Everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it, yes. Seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else, it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. And I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. I know the Lord will provide. I know the Lord will provide. I know the Lord will provide.
Thank you, Jesus, for making us a promise that you would never leave or forsake. Lord, thank you when you said these words. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Thank you, Jesus, for those words. Thank you for the encouragement that you've given to us. Lord, help us to give all that we have for you. In Jesus' name, amen. The ushers are going to take this morning's offering as we sing an offering song.
Tried to clean it up nice, tried to hold it all together. I'm living rich in the world, but a spiritual beggar. And I've been waiting to give till I can give you something better. But you just wanted my heart. So here it is, all of it. Will you take it in this condition? Here I am, fully surrendered. Jesus, you can have it all. Jesus, you can have it all. 'Cause you love every broken piece of an honest offering. Jesus, you can have it all. Turn the pennies in my hand into a heavenly treasure, because your kingdom rules by a different measure. And so I'm pouring out until I'm an empty vessel. Lord, here's my heart. The joy and the sorrow, yesterday and tomorrow, I let go, fully surrendered. Jesus, you can have it all. Jesus, you can have it all. You love every broken piece of an honest offering. Jesus, you can have it all to Jesus I surrender, all to you I freely give. I will ever love and trust you, in your presence I daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, all to you I freely give. I will ever love and trust you, in your presence I daily live. Jesus, you can have it all. Jesus, you can have it all. 'Cause you love every broken piece of an honest offering. Jesus, you can have it all. Jesus, you can have it all.
Thank you, worship team. What a great reminder. I surrender how much? Yes, some of you got it. So class, this is for Larson. So class, does all mean all? Yes, it does. Okay. Not just some. Didn't we sing a song that said Jesus paid some? He what? He what? Paid it all. All. So class. Yeah, you get it, right? Except for your Jilly. Okay. All right. Well, we'll see on Saturday, won't we? Okay. Why do we live our lives like we don't believe that Jesus paid it all? That we have to do something. We have to follow a list of rules. We have to do this. We have to do that. We have to obey some of the things that were given to the Israelites and the Israelites only that don't really apply to us today. But yet we put them into practice into our lives because why? We really don't believe. We really don't accept that Jesus what? Paid it all. Do you realize what a sense of freedom there is when we understand that Jesus paid it all? And if he paid it all, there's nothing that can be added to it. There's nothing you can do, there's nothing I can do to add one iota to God's redemption for our sin. Because he paid it what? All. You know what? I'm not even going to charge you extra for that this morning. I'll just throw that in for free. All right, kids, come on down. We'll get you ready for Children's Church. Father, we're just so grateful for the opportunity to be reminded of what you have done for us. Father, you provide for us. And Father, you've provided your redemption for us. It didn't cost us anything, but it cost Jesus everything. And Father, he paid that debt of sin that we owed, because it was a debt we would never be able to pay. But yet, Father, we live our lives as though we can add to that. We have to pay something instead of just truly believing in what Jesus did for us. How full and free your grace is. And Father, thank you for loving us so much that you didn't leave us in our sin, but you paid it all for us. And so, Father, I just pray that we will live from this moment on in the reality of that. I pray that it will make a difference in the way that we continue to praise and worship you. I pray that it will make a difference in the way that we hear from you as now we're opening up your word. And then, Father, as we leave this place in a little bit, it will make a difference in the way that we live our lives before you and before others. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go have a great time. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to continue on in our series of messages on a heritage of trust in God. We're going to be talking about a man that we might not be very familiar with, but we ought to be, and hopefully after this morning, we will be. So let me start by asking you this question. How many of you use GPS? Okay, Google Maps, whatever, okay? Well, I found some GPS humor. Thought maybe you might like to enjoy this. Oh, goody. My GPS told me to turn around. Now I can't see where I'm going. All right, some of you will get that after lunch. By the way, they get better. Never use GPS to go to a cemetery, because it's not good to hear you've reached your destination. Yeah, I thought you'd enjoy that. I bought a Johnny Cash voice for my GPS. I thought it'd be a good deal, because it's been everywhere, man. But it just keeps telling me to walk the line. Okay, all right. I got myself a senior's GPS. Not only does it tell me how to get to my destination, but it also tells me why I wanted to go there. So I have a confession to make this morning. As for me, GPS is not my friend. It is hard for me to use and to understand. It takes me a long time to plug the location of where I'm going from the location I happen to be at. A couple weeks ago, I needed to be in Nampa for a couple weeks ago on a Thursday night. I had to be in Nampa for a wedding rehearsal that I was officiating at the following Sunday. And so I had no idea where this place was. I had the name, I had the address. I plugged it into my GPS, plugged the address in, plugged the name in. And when I went to check to make sure that it gave me the right location, it was sending me to a place in New Jersey. And it took me a whole lot longer to find, to plug in the location in Nampa that I wanted to be. So I plug it in, right? And so I'm leaving church. So I plug in, my location is at church. I plug it in to that, and it takes me the back way to Nampa, which wasn't too bad because I missed all the traffic on the freeway at that time of day. So that was kind of neat. And then when I'm getting ready to leave, I plug in the location that I'm coming back, because I'm coming back to church after the wedding rehearsal. So it sends me down Middleton Road to Garrity, and I turn onto Garrity, and I'm right at the freeway. It's like, why didn't it send me this way before? Instead of sending me all of these ways to the back way. So GPS is not my friend. Sometimes I can get the lady to talk with me about the directions. But when I get in the car and I turn it on, most of the time she remains silent. And that's another joke, but I won't go there. She remains silent and all I hear is crickets. But I keep trying to use it, because someday, just someday, I might get it to work the way it's supposed to. Now, sometimes navigating this world requires following the proper directions. Because as we travel through this sin-cursed world, the landmarks don't look familiar. We get turned around and get confused. We end up going to places of sin we never intended to go to. So it's obvious we need direction. And that's exactly what walking with God provides. When we stay close to Him through His Word, we can know that we are on the right path, even when the world around us seems to be moving in a different direction. But if there ever was someone who knew about walking with God in an unrighteous world, it was a man named Enoch. Hopefully you can quickly turn to your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, because we're going to learn more about this man named Enoch this morning. Enoch walked with God, and he pleased God. Let me say that again. Enoch walked with God, and he pleased God. So for the next few moments, we're going to look at Enoch's walk, because Enoch had a walk like no other. If you're taking notes on the back of the bulletin, that's the first point. Enoch's walk like no other. So we need to get to know Enoch. So keep your finger in Hebrews chapter 11, I know, and go to Genesis chapter 5. And in Genesis chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 21 through 24. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. You all know who Methuselah is, right? He's the oldest man that ever lived. He fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Now here's the thing we need to know about Enoch. Enoch was just a regular guy living a regular life. He probably, well, he had a wife, he had kids, he probably had a mortgage and an SUV just like the rest of us. But there was something special about Enoch. He walked with God. He walked with God. And this wasn't just a Sunday morning stroll. Enoch's walk with God was a daily, moment-by-moment journey. It was a lifestyle, a constant communion with God, and it wasn't easy. Enoch lived in a time when wickedness was the norm and following God was the exception. Sound familiar? But Enoch did not let that stop him. Day after day, year after year, he just kept putting one foot in front of the other, steadily moving forward in his relationship with God. And the amazing thing, God noticed. In fact, God was so pleased with Enoch's trust in him that he did something remarkable. One day, he just took him straight to heaven, bypassing death altogether. Now, the author of Hebrews gives us a little more insight into Enoch's walk. All right, so go where your finger's keeping your page in Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was found, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Now, notice that walking with God isn't about perfect behavior or religious rituals. It's about trust, a deep, abiding trust in who God is and what He's promised, even when we cannot see the complete picture. It's about believing that God is real, that He cares about us, and that He's worth living for with everything we are. Didn't we just sing a song this morning about take it all, God? That's what walking with God is all about. We say every day, sometimes many times during the day, take it all, God. He's worth living for with everything we are. And with an attitude like that, when we make our relationship with God the center of our lives, not just something we do on Sundays, everything changes. So what does a walk with God look like in your own life? It's not about being perfect or having it all together. It is about a continual growing relationship with God who loves you and has a purpose for your life. It's about letting Him guide your steps even when the way is not clear. And we don't do this alone. Just like our GPS guides us when we head out on a journey, God's Holy Spirit and His Word are there to lead us. All we have to do is trust him. And get this, keep on walking. Trust him and keep on walking. And I know you're sitting there and you're looking at me like, Pastor, don't you understand how difficult that is? Yes, I do. I know it's not always easy. But Enoch's journey of trusting God wasn't easy. And ours isn't going to be either. Because we're living in a world that is a lot like the one Enoch walked in. A world that is often hostile to spiritual things. That brings us to the second point. Enoch's walk in a wicked world. Enoch was living in a time where things were spiritually dark. In Genesis chapter 4, there's a man named Lamech who was the definition of everything that was wrong with the world. Lamech was a descendant of Cain. That tells you something right there, right? Lamech was proud, boastful, and had a serious anger problem. In fact, he even brags about killing another man. This was a world where violence and vengeance were celebrated, where might made right, and no one seemed to care about walking with God at all. Again, sound familiar? It's the kind of world where faith is mocked and where walking with God makes you stick out like a sore thumb. And Lamech wasn't the only one. As the generations went on, things just kept getting worse. In fact, by the time we get to Genesis chapter 6, God looks at the earth and sees this. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What does that tell us? People were doing whatever they wanted, chasing after their own desires and pleasures with no thought of the consequences. Y'all understand, right? That for the decisions we make, there are consequences. We make good decisions, there's good consequences. We make not so good decisions, there's not so good consequences. It was the kind of world that can make you want to throw up your hands and just go with the flow. And right in the middle of all of that darkness and evil and unrighteousness, there was Enoch, the one man who just kept walking with God, no matter. No matter what everyone else was doing, day in, day out, he chose to put God first, to trust God no matter what his community was doing. So here's the lesson for us. Walking with God has never been about fitting in with the crowd. It's always been about trusting God and following his word, even when the rest of the world isn't. We need to remember we're not alone on this journey. We have a God who walks with us every step of the way. And we've got examples like Enoch to show us what it looks like to live by faith, even in a faithless world. Let's look at Enoch's walk defined. And I think there's three ways that we see in Genesis, and three ways that we see as we also see Enoch in Hebrews chapter 11. Three ways that we see Enoch's walk defined. Here's the first one, friendship and union. For Enoch, walking with God was about more than just checking the quiet time box on his spiritual to-do list. It was a real friendship. The phrase walked with God in Genesis chapter 5 is a picture of closeness and conversation, like two friends strolling through the park together. It means sharing a path. It is to have conversations just to enjoy being close. I love that picture. The picture of a God who wants our company, a God who invites us into a trusting relationship with him, full of conversation, closeness, and joy. Sometimes we can think of our spiritual life as just a set of rules to follow or beliefs to hold. But it's really about relationship. A deep, personal friendship with God who loves us. And that is what Enoch had. And can I let you in on a little secret? Enoch wasn't any different than you. He wasn't any different than me. He wasn't some super saint. He wasn't blessed with more things than you are blessed with or more things than I'm blessed with. He's just an ordinary, regular person. Doing what? Walking with God throughout his life, just like you, just like me. At least I hope and pray that you're walking with God throughout your life. It's about a relationship. Enoch didn't just know about God. He knew God. I'm going to say that again. Enoch didn't just know about God. He knew God. He walked with him, talked with him, shared his life with him. And that friendship and union shaped everything about who Enoch was and how he lived. Here's the second way that I think that Enoch's friendship with God is described, that of obedience. That's letter B, by the way. For Enoch, walking with God was about obedience. Just like walking a path requires putting one foot in front of the other, walking with God means consistently choosing to follow his word, even when it seems difficult. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33. The Lord said this to the nation of Israel, "You shall walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you shall possess." Now, I know that directly this was given to the Israelites, but I think indirectly there's an application for us as believers today. You shall walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you. You see, walking with God isn't a one-time decision. It's a daily choice to put his will above our own. I surrender all isn't something that I just did the moment that I believed in Jesus as Savior and then began to walk this life of a spiritual life from that moment on. It's something I have to do every single day. Because I still have this sin nature. And Satan knows my weaknesses. He knows my weaknesses better than sometimes I want to give him credit for. And he brings temptation for me to sin. And sometimes I say, nope, not going to go there. Other times, I give in. This surrendering, this commitment, is a moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, thing that needs to be done. It's not a one-time thing. Walking with God isn't a one-time decision. It's a daily choice to put his will above our own. It's a commitment to obey him, not just when it's easy or convenient, but with every part of our lives. And listen as the author of Hebrews reminds us of what obedience looks like. Look at verse 6 of chapter 11. "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." We can't claim to trust God if we're not willing to obey him. It's as simple as that. And we can't obey him consistently if we really don't believe he knows what is best for us. Enoch's life was marked by that kind of obedience. Day after day, year after year, he chose to walk in God's ways, even when it wasn't popular or easy. He trusted that God's path was the best path, and he stayed on it no matter what. Wow, is there a lesson there for us? And here's the third way that I believe that Enoch's walk was described, finishing well. Enoch's walk with God was not a short-time deal. It was a lifelong commitment. Genesis chapter 5 tells us that Enoch walked with God for 300 years. That's longer than most of us will ever even be alive, let alone walking faithfully with God. What perseverance. I don't know about you this morning, but I want that kind of staying power in my own walk with God. I want to be like Enoch, not just starting well, but finishing well. Am I perfect? Nope. Do sometimes I falter? Yes. I just don't want to be sprinting out of the gates but I want to be running the race with endurance all the way to the finish line. And I hope that someone would sum up my life with these words at the end of my life. Pastor Sam walked with God. For Enoch, his whole life is summed up in those words. And what incredible words to live for, won't you agree? That so-and-so walked with God. Our walk with God is not about this life. It's about eternity. It's about a relationship with God that begins in this life and then lasts forever. Here's the fourth point this morning. Enoch's walk rewarded. Why keep walking with God when it's hard and unpopular and sometimes just plain exhausting? Well, I think Enoch's life gives us a glimpse of the rich reward that awaits those who walk with God to the end. Walking with God brings pleasure to God's heart. Walking with God brings pleasure to God's heart. Did you see what it said in verse 5? Before he was taken, he, being Enoch, was commended as having what? Pleased God. Folks, imagine that. God actually takes pleasure in spending time with you and me. When we walk with him, when we enjoy being in his presence, it brings a smile to his face. And that's a reward in and of itself, if you ask me. To know that we can bring joy to the heart of God just by walking with him is incredible. Walking with God doesn't just bring pleasure to his heart, it also brings peace to ours. When we are in step with God, when we are living in obedience to his will, when we are in union with his spirit, there is a sense of rightness, a sense of completeness that nothing else can match. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures unseen. In a world that is full of chaos and confusion, we have an anchor, a sense of stability, because we know that God is the one who holds it all together. Enoch's relationship with God was so close, so genuine, that one day God just said, come on home with me, Enoch, and be with me forever. One of these days, God is going to take all of us home who believe in him as Savior. Can we walk with him up until that day when he takes us to that place that he's been preparing for us? Whether he comes and collects us in the clouds or whether he comes through the avenue of death, one day, as believers, he's coming to get us. I can't wait for that day. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, right? That marriage supper. I can't wait for that. What a great time that's going to be. What a great banquet that's going to be. What a great thing eternity in heaven is going to be. One day he's going to say to us, come on home and be with me forever, just like he did Enoch. And just like that, Enoch skipped right past the whole death thing. Wouldn't that be nice? And went straight into the joy of God's presence for eternity. That's the blessing of believing in Jesus. An eternity in his presence, an eternity of joy and peace. When we believe in Jesus as Savior, he gives to us the promise of eternal life in his presence, in a place called heaven, where we will be with him for how long? And how long is forever? Good job. Forever. Wow. This, folks, is something to look forward to. Are you looking forward to it? Yeah, I can't tell by the way your faces look this morning. Man, you guys ought to be pumping your fist. You guys ought to be going, yes, forever in heaven with God. Wow, I can't wait. Well, maybe after the ball game this afternoon. Maybe after lunch later on today. Well, I got dinner plans, so maybe Jesus will hold off. No. If he comes right now, it'll be okay. Because our walk here on earth is over and our walk in eternity with him will begin. I can't wait for that. To walk side by side with the one who paid it all so that I could be there. So what do I want you to take away with from this morning? I want to ask you a question. Can we walk with God like Enoch? Yes, we can. So let us walk with the one who never changes. Let us walk with God today and every day. And let me leave you with this. When we walk with God, we are where we are meant to be. Whoa. Pastor, I didn't know you would end by going so deep. When we walk with God, you might want to write this down. When we walk with God, we are where we are meant to be. The book of Colossians tells us that we were created to bring him pleasure. He wasn't created for us. We were created for him. And when we walk with God, we are where we are meant to be. Let's pray. Father, can we walk with God like Enoch? Can we walk with you like Enoch? Yes, we can. So, Father, help us through your word. Help us through your Holy Spirit to walk with you, the one who never changes. Help us to walk with you today and every day. Help us to put it into our hearts and our minds that when we are walking with you, we are where we were meant to be. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand with me for this last song?
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name.